Okay, so let's go to the last topic for today, which is the equity method of accounting. And I think I have to give the floor to Filippo.
Thank you, Hans. Good afternoon, everybody. The objective for this session is to ask the board to approve the objective for equity method research project. The paper for this session is agenda paper 13. Some years ago, the board discussed the scope of a research project on the equity method and decided to undertake a limited scope project to seek to address application problems that are being referred to the IFRS Interpretation Committee and highlighted by the Global Preparers Forum. It was noted that a wider scope project could result in significant changes to financial reporting, as such a project would be better undertaken after the completion of the post-implementation review of IFRS 10, 11, and 12. Appendix A of Agenda Paper 13 includes a summary of the history of the project. Following the 2015 agenda consultation, the board decided to put the project on hold until after it had assessed the feedback on the post-implementation review of IFRS 11. In relation to the objective of the project, the staff's view is that the board's reasoning is still valid, and therefore we recommend that the board confirms the objective as described in paragraph 15, that is, to assess whether application problem with the equity method can be addressed in consolidated and financial and individual financial statements, identifying and explaining the principles in IAS 28. To achieve this objective, the staff recommends a two-step approach. The first is to identify the application problems to be addressed in the project. To select application problems, the staff suggests using the criteria listed in paragraph 17 on page 5 of the agenda paper. The staff will bring its recommendation for the list of the application problems meeting. The second step is to identify and explain the principles that underline IAS 28 to develop solutions to the application problems. We think that identifying and explaining the principle is preferable to an approach that develops narrow scope amendments for each problem, as it should lower the risk of introducing conflict requirements or unintended consequences. We also think that this approach is preferable to fundamental rediscussion of the equity method, because it should allow a solution to be developed in a time-effective way. However, the staff acknowledges that identifying and explaining the principles in IAS 28 is not without challenges. This is because IAS 28 defines the equity method and describes some of the procedures that an investor needs to apply, but does not contain a clear description of the objective and the principles. The board did not consider the equity method developed the development chapter in the conceptual framework, and we know the equity method has been historically to achieve different objectives. With the publication of the RFI on the post-implementation review of IFRS 10, 11, and 12 approaching, we recommend resuming the work on the research project, because I think that it will allow us to undertake outreach on the RFI and the research project simultaneously. We'll now move to the questions for the board on page 9. The first is, do you support the project objective as described? And the second, do you support the project approach and the two steps that I have described? And with that, I will leave the floor to the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Filippo. Sue.
Thanks, Hans. Thank you, Filippo. I agree with the general approach that you are recommending in the paper, so I certainly agree that something looking at the application questions and trying to address those is what we should do rather than something broader. I see this as being a little bit similar to what we're trying to do in the FICE project, where we're trying to sort of improve the underpinnings of IAS 32. My only hesitation is that I'm not sure that we've got a very, if we've got much of a basis to work out what the principles are that we're trying to work with. So if I look at IAS 32, we've got this basic idea of what we think, you know, an equity investor's perspective would be, and we're using that to try and work on, for example, what the fixed for fixed requirement might mean. But if I look at IAS 28, because there's no real basis and not much information that explains the sort of idea behind the equity method, I'm not sure how we'll work out what our sort of anchor is for our decision making. And one thing I wondered whether it might help us in working out what our anchor should be would be talking to some investors about what information they think they get from the equity method and what it is that they're trying to get from the sort of unusual measurement approach that the equity method provides as one source of information to help us work out what to do. Because otherwise, I'm not sure it would be obvious to me how we solve some of these application issues, because I don't know what it is that we're trying to achieve with the equity method.
Okay, thank you, Sue. Mary?
Thanks, Hans. And thanks, Filippo. I think good job trying to wrestle with a number of moving pieces here. Now, my support for the staff's approach is qualified in a few ways, and I want to raise them, some of which I think you might be able to address now, some of which I think you may need to think about. I think it is attractive, and this echoes what Sue says, to try and improve kind of the toolbox we have available. And I agree with the staff that it would not be attractive or, I think, productive in anything more than the very short term to just go in and say, let us give an answer to the following questions. You know, just treat each one as a discrete item. But I am worried about both scope creep and cost of implementation. So let me go back to another point of agreement. I agree with the sequence that you propose, saying let's focus first on developing responses, and your suggestion, which I think is a good, you know, thing to try first, is to articulate underlying principles. I agree with trying to do that in thinking about consolidated and individual financial statements, and then only going back and looking at separate financial statements afterwards. So I think that two-step is right. Anything we do would have to apply, I think, across all, or we'd have to comment if it didn't. And I think you focused on the right population. Now, let me raise my concerns. One is scope creep, because I think if we say we are going to kind of do it in this two phase, that could stretch out and increase the size of the project. I think it's the right way to do it, but I think we're going to have to be very conscious of that. And second, I think a very important characteristic of this project is not captured in the problem definition, which is the board's current kind of budget authorization to the staff, to ourselves, is for a narrow scope project. And I think the question of assessing whether application issues can be addressed in this fashion might have different answers if you say an any size project, or if you say a narrow scope in the context of a narrow scope project. So I would be inclined to add the constraint of in the scope of a narrow scope project into the problem objective. And then going back to the scope creep, again, I think very helpful that you have the list in Appendix B of identified application issues. But when I started going through that list, I think almost half of them I identified as resolved. Now, resolved in the context by, let's say, the board undertaking standard setting that we have made effective as opposed to suspended, or maybe the question going to the interpretation committee and the interpretation committee providing comment in an agenda decision about the requirements of current standards. So I think it would be helpful when you come back to us on this project to sort the list of identified application issues by open, closed, and then maybe closed, but those where people are asking us to reconsider what the answer is, because I think that may actually, what's being badged as application issues, there may be a few that are, I know what I'm supposed to do, I don't like what happens when I do it. And I'm thinking maybe of some of the impairment issues. And I raise this in the context of scope creep, because if we're trying to do a narrow scope project, I think that this project objective in paragraph 15 should be limited to addressing outstanding issues and not necessarily all outstanding issues. I'm not trying to debate today which ones we should and shouldn't try to answer. But if we try and also articulate principles for those application issues that have been resolved, I see the scope of this project growing and growing. And I think that's something we'll have to manage. Now, the last thing I want to throw at you, and this is something I think can't be answered today, but I think we should think about addressing explicitly, is some of the feedback we got on the FICE DP, where we proposed a similar approach of articulating principles to create, you know, a better toolbox for answering questions in future, was if you retrofit principles to an existing standard, then preparers have to look at every single item that they have and see whether the retrofitting of the principles changes the answer on everything, as opposed to more targeted amendments that look only at what you have identified as the problem and seek to answer those. Now, I think the benefits of having principles, articulation of principles, would probably outweigh the costs, but I think we have to acknowledge that concern that we heard from stakeholders, particularly preparers, about the cost of implementing that, and think about how we're going to manage that and if it's any different in the context of the equity method project. And I think that's a reason why I might want to focus on developing articulation of principles only for the open application issues rather than also considering the closed ones, because I think the more principles we articulate, the more risk we have of very high implementation costs. So I have very qualified support, but I think it's the right approach and we're trying to do the right thing. I would amend the objective of the research in paragraph 15 to incorporate the open, you know, the issue of outstanding application issues and the board's current view that we are looking at what we can do in the context of a narrow scope project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Jen Chow.
Thank you, Hans. I also agree with staff's proposal regarding to the objective of the research project. I think it's better to assess the application issues first and then to look at how to resolve those issues by identifying and clarifying the principles of IS 28. I think this approach is, first, it's consistent with the previous board discussions and the scope the board has identified. Secondly, we are aware that there are several application issues arising and raised, and also there are some issues actually pending. So I think we do need to address those application issues through this research project. And with regarding what kind of issues we need to address, I agree with Mary's comments that basically we needed to mainly focus on those outstanding issues. That is, if those issues has been addressed and has been resolved, I think should be not be focused on, unless those solution may not be consistent with our classify the principles of IS 28. Maybe we needed to limit it to those solutions. With regard to the approach, I fully agree with staff's approach. Try to find a solution to those application issues by identify, classify, clarify the underlying principles of IS 28. Although there are challenges, as Sue mentioned, to find the underlying concept of principles. But I think basically I think we can find clarify those principles in efficient and effective ways, and in order to resolve those urgent needed application issues. So basically, I agree with staff's proposals and as well as the proposed objective as well as the approach to address those application issues. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Jen Chao. Tom?
Yeah, I support the staff's approach as well. I have a note of caution I want to introduce. So in paragraph 6B, it says identify the application problems, decide which problems to address, and then two, address the application problems by identifying and explaining the principles. And I agree with this. My note of caution is that you really can't understand for sure that you can address a problem until you've identified and understand the efficacy of the principles. So there's a chicken and egg thing that has to happen here. And so in going through this, I would advocate that it be a bit of an iterative process as opposed to a purely sequential process, that as you need to kind of think about the problems, think about the principles almost simultaneously, bounce back and forth a bit to make sure that we end up with a set of problems that the identified principles are going to provide solutions. So I try and make it a bit iterative and not purely sequential.
Okay. Rika, please.
Yes, Hans, thank you. I think I agree with staff's approach, but cautious consideration should be continued necessary, because I understand that the conceptual argument will not answer to any question we have right now. It's already identified, and many stakeholders enjoy receiving the benefit of the using the existing model of equity method. So I think starting point will be good to articulate the requirement to find the principle of IS 28, and also as a second step, the reframing the issues that have been already we identified, and also including those issues that will be identified. And so I think we need to carefully consider after identify the whole issue, what the solution would be a better approach. I understand the current approach is to meet what we have discussed and what we should be reasonable and sensible in this in this situation. But still, we need to carefully consider what's the right way for us to solve this issue. And another thing I notice is I agree with the staff's idea not to consider the separate financial statement issue, because I think that is used from the different perspective, and issues should be considered together with the issues of IS 27 rather than including the IS 28. And also the timing of reach out of this project should be carefully considered together with the timing we do some outreach in connection with PIR of IFRS 10 to 12. I think many stakeholders want to give us feedback together with those topics. Thank you.
Thank you, Rika. Nick.
Thank you. So Sue highlighted the need to understand the user perspective here. And so I wanted to build on that. So most users will value associates and joint ventures separate from the rest of the entity. However, to be clear, that doesn't mean they'd like to see those associates and joint ventures fair valued. I think we find very little appetite for going down a fair value route here. But they do find information lacking today to help them undertake that valuation themselves. And I think there's a question whether the existing requirements in IFRS 12 are providing sufficient information about material joint ventures or associates, or simply there's an application issue here, or whether there's a compliance issue here. And I think there's an opportunity for some desktop research to be undertaken to understand why that frustration has arisen, where investors identify themselves material joint ventures and associates and feel they're not getting the information about those elements. The second concern, which we hear from investors, isn't so much an application issue, and it's cropped up through the primary financial statements project. And that's there's a frustration is that we report on a single line the share of profit or loss from equity method accounted investments as a post-tax number, and then we aggregate that often into a pre-tax number. So people feel that naturally is inconsistent. It distorts the tax rate, that you have a what could be a significant post-tax contribution from an associate included in pre-tax profit. Now, through the primary financial statements project, the response has been that goes beyond the scope of PFS, and it's more likely to be an issue for the project that we're talking about now. So I'd really like some, I guess, reassurance that despite a focus on application issues, that this won't fall between the gaps between the two projects, and it does get picked up. The last point I'd make is obviously we have received a lot of comment letters on the primary financial statement proposals, including some extensive comments on the presentation of associates and joint ventures. But those comments also delve into the issues that I've been talking about just now, and that may also be a source of information to explore further in terms of the comment letters there. Thank you.
Bruce.
Thanks very much, Hans. I guess the comment I just wanted to make was I'm supportive of doing a project on this. I mean, I do think there's some challenges with equity accounting, but I guess my only worry is, much like some of the others have mentioned, is around the scope creep. I mean, we talk about it in paragraph 20 of the paper, where we talk about the fact that we're saying we want to build on these principles, but obviously the principles within IAS 28 on equity accounting are not particularly clear. What's worrying me is that I'm trying in my mind to work out how we don't address, Mary used that word, kind of retrofitting the principles into IAS 28 and realizing that's going to have a significant impact on preparers. Because at the end of the day, the moment we tinker with those principles, and I accept that we're saying we don't want to go back into the definitions, we don't want to go back into all those key principles, but I don't understand how we can't look at those if we're not going to then kind of get into the into how we're going to explain it. If all we're looking to do is issue explanatory guidance, well, that's simple. And if all people needed was a point in the right direction, well, then the interpretation committee could do all this through agenda decisions. You know, that's not necessarily the challenge. So I just think that I'm supportive of the staff going ahead and doing this, but my worry would be, well, I think it'll be interesting to see how you type that concept of we don't want to tinker too much with the principles. We don't want to shove in too many principles in a principle-based framework where we also want to provide the guidance to address some of those issues. So I think you just got to be careful in terms of marrying those two up.
Françoise.
Yes, thank you. I express support for the objective of the project as defined by staff. And I also have a series of comments, reservations on some aspects. First of all, I really concur with what Shu has said about, you know, not having any anchor in IAS 28 today in order to develop principles. So I think how that information is being useful is a basis. I agree with her, is the basis to build on some principles. The other point I wanted to make that to me the project is a success if we are able, and I agree it's really challenging, if we agree, I mean, that the principle that we identify, and very much in the same way as has been done for, I mean, as is being done for FICE right now, you know, don't care whether these were the principles that existed at the, in the heads of people that wrote ICE 28 or whether these are just necessary in order to have discipline in the way application issues in, related to the equity method are dealt with. But if we, by the end of the day, within the confines of the project that's described, we say, well, we're going to leave a number of application issues aside. I think it means that we have not succeeded in developing underlying principles. To me, that the test that this is being successful is that at least the identified application issues find a solution under the principles. Then I would, and probably for the same reason, would take a different point of view from Mary, when Mary says, well, let's not touch what has been resolved. In fact, what has been resolved has been resolved as a succession of very, very narrow-scoped amendments, themselves being decided, one on the basis of one principle and the other eventually on in a different direction, so creating further inconsistencies. So if we do not include the application issues that are so-called resolved, I don't think, I mean, I think it's not that we're making the task of the staff more challenging. I think we just make it impossible. Now, I certainly concur with Mary that we don't want this to result in some very costly undertaking, but we have ways all along to see and check whether we would be heading into a problem there. But I would not decide beforehand. You know, the cost constraint to me applies at the next step. And then if I'm allowed to do so, I would like to comment on two points that have been made. To Nick's point on the users not being happy with a post-tax number being included in a series, I really think that's a presentation issue. So I would regard that as part as being in the scope of PFS. That's my personal view. And I also would want to react, and nobody was going to be surprised with that, to Bruce's comment about if it's only application, if we can do that through agenda decisions. I don't think that if we can do that, because in fact, we're just saying here, there is no anchor in ICE 28 to decide what should be done. And as a result, whatever clarify what people have to do adds to the existing literature. So we know that an agenda decision cannot add. It can just put things together that already exists. That's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Françoise. Then Tadeo.
Thank you, Hans. My experience is that in many countries, especially in Latin America, IFRS is applied also in the separate financial statements. Basically, what I'm saying is that subsidiaries are accounted for using the equity method in the separate financial statements. These separate financial statements, in most cases, are the basis for paying dividends and complying with statutory requirements. I mean, that they are as important as the consolidated financial statement. And then looking from this perspective, the approach suggested by the staff is quite helpful, and I believe the right way to deal with that. We know there are other issues, as you pointed out in this paper, not just the one-line consolidation discussion. Nick mentioned the feedback on the PFS, and I think that it could be quite helpful in these projects as well. And I think the way that's proposed to move the project together with the PIR on IFRS 10, 11, 12 is adequate, and hopefully we'll find a solution to the application problems. Thank you.
Martin.
Yeah, thanks, Hans. I have some doubts if we can really solve this kind of application questions to find the principles in IS 28, because man, I cannot see the principles. And my question was always, is that a one-line consolidation method or is it a measurement kind of principle? What is equity at equity accounting? And without clarifying what it is, I think it is very, very difficult then to find, okay, other principles which should solve application questions. But if we find these principles and then solve one application question, I think preparers have to ask themselves, okay, what does it mean for other interpretations I have done in the past with at equity accounting? And then we run into same issues as Mary explained, which we had with FICE. And therefore, I really think, man, if we want to do something, I think we have to do something broader. And we have to start, I think it is a good idea to say, maybe we have to distinguish between consolidated financial statements and separate. I totally agree with that. But then we have to say, okay, what is it? Is it a consolidation method, yes or no? And then answering the questions from there. Otherwise, I have really doubts that we can do that without having further and further kind of questions and hesitations, at least from preparers saying, okay, that is really a problem that we retrospectively coming up with principles, and then I have to look all my accounting decisions in the past and make sure if I have then retrospectively done the right application. And that is, therefore, I think we need a little bit broader kind of project and first clarifying what is this at equity accounting method. Is it a consolidation method, one line, or is it a kind of measurement method?
Okay, thank you, Martin. Mary, finally?
Anne. No, after me, I'll go after Mary, that's fine, but I want to talk, please.
Okay.
I'll go. I'm going back and looking, in light of the discussions we've had already, I'm going back and looking at the wording of paragraph 15, which is the proposed objective. And I think maybe what I'm hearing is that this research objective, more than many other research phases, is really a feasibility assessment. It says to assess whether application issues, blah, blah, blah. And it really is a question of if the staff thinks that this articulation of principles approach is the right one to try, and I think you've heard a fair amount of somewhat qualified support for that, then we have to assess whether it is possible, rather than people assuming that that's just kind of a formalistic phrasing for the purposes of a research project. And maybe it also is that perhaps we ask the staff to come back with an initial assessment of that feasibility sooner than they might otherwise in the course of a research project, because I've heard a lot of experienced people around the table today say, I'm not sure that this is going to fly. Maybe it's worth trying, but I'm not sure it's going to fly. And the other thing, though, I think we should add, and I was harping before on the existing constraint of a narrow scope project, maybe it would be more in keeping with the approach the staff has articulated to say, it's not just the feasibility to assess whether, but also what would the capacity requirements be for a project to do that, because it could be that you say, well, we think it is possible, but it's going to be a lot bigger than a narrow scope project. And that kind of relates to the point that Nick raised about the crossover with PFS and the feedback we've gotten on equity method from there. I think it highlights that in terms of how big is this project, what's the staff recommendation about what we do and don't do, we probably need a paper that says, here's the feedback that we got in the PFS comment letters that relate to application of the equity method. And, do they fall into the scope of this project? And if so, what would the impact be of including them in the scope of this project? Okay, thanks.
Anne, your turn. Sorry to keep you waiting.
That's okay. Thanks, Hans. I think we've got an opportunity to help this project with the PIR. So all along, people have talked about the relationship, of, not sure what it is, but some relationship between the PIR of 10, 11, 12 and the equity method research project. But I actually think the fact that in the PIR of 10, 11 and 12, we've got the opportunity to be talking to users and to be finding out what they're saying about disclosures, I think that's a real opportunity for us to find out information that can help us with this project. The staff have given us this paper, and we had a lot of discussion on this way ahead, this objective of the research. But I think there's another element, and I think this is where we can really leverage off our PIR of 10, 11 and 12, particularly into the disclosure part, investigating that and getting feedback from users. And then I think that will feed into the equity method project and assist us as we try and work out what we're going to do within the equity method project. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Anne. I think we are ready to answer the questions to the board. Filippo, you want us to lead us through the questions again, or can we just confirm that we agree with the objective of the research project?
Yeah? Oh, sorry, yes. Okay. I mean, go ahead. I think they're pretty straightforward.
Okay, so do we agree with the objective of the research project with all the questions that have been asked?
Anne?
Yes.
12.
And then finally, do we agree with the recommended project approach?
Are we going to get a fairly early read on direction for staff?
I think that's the message that Filippo got, right, Filippo?
May I say something?
Yes, Francis.
I have a problem with 2I, because 2I says identify application problems and decide which problem to consider in the project. To me, if we have a selection and leave a number unsolved, I don't understand the purpose. So I have a problem with this selection, unless I make too much out of those words. But
I think you probably do. I mean,
I think it just means you don't support it. No, I'm serious, and that wasn't a criticism. I think it means you do not support the fact that the staff implicitly says we're going to have to make some choices about which problems we answer. Yeah. And you have said that you think they all should be, so I think you do not support part one of question two.
That's why I couldn't vote on two in one go. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So can we have the hands up again to the extent that you want to support the recommendation?
Anne?
Yes.
11.
Okay. Well, I think that brings us to the end of today's deliberations. And we will continue our meeting tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Chisel.